appropriate to read this on Mother's Day. Thank you so much for all you've done for us this week, cooking, serving, keeping nursery, and providing me not only gluten-free meals every night, but also dessert. I felt so loved and blown away by the thought and love put into everything. You ladies are amazing, and we have had such a wonderful week with you all. Love, Hannah Shreve. And the Shreve's going to the country of Chile, and she had special needs, and we found out about it just a few days before the conference that she was special diet, just gluten-free, and she was just really taken back by the way everybody ministered to her in particular, so I thought you ladies would like to hear that. Well, we're going to be baptizing after the service this morning, after the invitation. You pray for Judy because our heater in the baptistry has finally given up the ghost for good. And so it's going to feel like she's in, like Paul said, like she's in the West Fork River this morning. So it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold. But she said, hey, I'm willing. So she's going to be baptized this morning. So praise the Lord for that. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And I do hope for each of you who are called mom that it is a nice day today with your family, and enjoy the afternoon with those folks if you're so able to do so. Let's read beginning in verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth forth food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I ask that you would use it for the benefit of every mom here. But far beyond that, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for every one of us. So for every man, for every single or widowed or divorced or woman here who's married without children, or every mother, Lord, you speak to each of us. Use this passage for your glory. Lord, help us to seek to learn and grow from it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a question in verse 10 that I think is important, especially today, that we consider. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? And I ask the same question. The focus in our culture today is not on women being virtuous. It's women getting ahead in the workplace. It's women being powerful. It's women being everything but virtuous. I'm not here to condemn everything about feminism, but modern feminism is a scourge in our country. and it is a scourge to womanhood. And I hope no woman in this church would ever buy in to the perversion that we find in what is going on in our culture today. And then, by the way, it's not just here in the United States. It's Europe, it's Asia, it's Africa, it's South America. This has become a worldwide scourge, just like we have a worldwide pandemic. We have a worldwide pandemic in spiritual matters. Womanhood today is focused on everything but virtue. It's the last thing that modern feminism would want to focus on. God says He wants you to be virtuous. Now, when you find the word virtuous here in Proverbs 31, the word means to have valor, to have strength, and to have force. That's what the word means. Now, if someone with the mindset of the modern feminist might look at that word and say, well, that will fit right in. We could use that definition, be a woman of valor. What does that mean? Courage. We're women of courage, and we're going to overcome this patriarchal system. Be a woman of strength. Remember, some of you will remember, there was a famous song back in the 70s, 80s, somewhere in that range. It was a song about feminism, and there was a line that said, I am woman, hear me roar. Remember that song? I don't remember who the artist was. Obviously, it was a female artist. Modern feminism would say, certainly, we are women of strength. We don't need men. We don't need anything. We are, you know, women. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being strong. Certainly nothing wrong with being courageous. It's just what you put your strength toward, folks. A woman of force. I don't think I need to explain that one with what's going on in modern society today. That's what the word virtue means. And you could actually use that word, I guess, as its meaning in modern feminism. But obviously, I'm not taking you there today. I'm an old-fashioned preacher, if you want to put it that way. You know, and I don't really care for the term old-fashioned. I'm just preaching the Bible. I like it when Judy said to me, I want to get baptized. So I went to her home Thursday night and we talked. I said, what made you decide to get baptized? She said, the Bible. The Bible said it. Well, folks, I just want to tell you, the Bible this morning. This is what the Bible says. And there are things about God's word that I don't like. Can I be honest with you? There are things I do not like. But it doesn't matter whether I like them or not. I don't like surgery. I don't like most medicines. But many times they're necessary, aren't they? And we need to take the Word of God the same way. Listen to what the Word of God says, whether it goes against our cultural norms of our present day society, whether it goes against our secular mindset or not. The Bible. The Bible. What's interesting is, in all of the Bible, there is only one woman who is called virtuous by title. Now, there are many virtuous women in the Scripture, but one that was referred to as virtuous, and that was a Moabite of all people. And her name was Ruth. Ruth was a pagan. Ruth worshipped false gods. And one day, a man named Elimelech left Israel because of famine and went and took up residence for a period of time in Moab. It wasn't of God, but he did it anyway, and he drug his family into harm. Elimelech died. His two sons ended up marrying pagan women, and they both died. And by the time Naomi had had enough, she said, call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me. She said, I'm no longer happy, I'm bitter, because God has dealt bitterly with me. And that's true. He, and this is for our men, took his family into harm's way, and it cost him. But it's interesting to me because Naomi had really no choice but to obey her husband. And I advocate that. I advocate a woman obeying her husband, even when he makes mistakes, obey your husband. And you'll be hard-pressed not to find that reality and truth in the Word of God. But when her husband died, and now her sons died and left two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, as widows as well, she made a decision. This has been a rough place for me. I'm leaving. I'm going back home to Israel and going back to my hometown of Bethlehem. And so she did. And of course, both of her daughter-in-law said, "We want to go with you." They loved her. There was something special about Naomi. They loved her. And she said, "No, my daughters," she said, "you know, it's probably best for you to stay here. This is your culture. This is your language. This is your friends and family. This is probably where you need to be." And Orpah said, "Okay, I'll stay." Ruth, that famous passage, you know, I don't want to leave you. "Wherever thou goest, I will go. Wherever thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And then she said this, "And thy God shall be what? My God." And when she gets there, she realizes that she can't sign up for unemployment or Social Security benefits. She's not going to get a stimulus check. She's going to have to go out there and do what we're all supposed to do in a sense. We're to work by the sweat of our brow. And that's exactly what she's going to do. She's going to go out and she's going to work in the fields to get a meager living for her and her mother-in-law. She's going to take care of her mother-in-law till the day she dies. So every day she is out in this field and she is gathering crops early in the morning till evening, gathering food so she and her mother-in-law can survive. Now, think about Ruth for a minute. The word virtuous means valor. She was a woman of courage. She was going to leave her society and come to Israel, where the Israelites considered the Moabites and most Gentile people what? Dogs. She was going to get the sneers and the ugly looks and the turned heads and the barbs from those Jewish people. She had courage. She had strength. A lot of you don't know this, but those who have been in the church a long time, you know, I came out of a broken home and all those kind of things. But, you know, despite all that, I have a lot of respect for my mom. My mom was a very hard worker. She raised 8 children. She lived on a dairy farm, so she had responsibilities as far as farm life goes. In order to make a big family go, she sold Amway, she sold Avon, and drove school bus for about 40 years. Until the state of Ohio said, "You are too old to drive with people in your bus. You cannot drive any longer." She was a very hard worker. Like my dad, they were up 4:30 in the morning, didn't go to bed, you know, till late at night, working literally all day long, 7 days a week. That was the life of my mom and dad. She was a hard worker. Well, I know we have a bunch of hardworking women here in this room today as well, and that was the attitude of Ruth. Early in the morning, till the sun began to set, she was out there working in the fields. Working in the fields. You know, in our country, we allow migrants to come in and do our field farming for us because it's very difficult to get Americans to do that kind of work. She comes into this country where she is going to be mocked and laughed at, and she is going to be ridiculed, and she is going to work, and she's going to work hard no matter what anybody says or tries to do to her. Despite the fact that she is a Gentile dog, she is going to provide for her mother. She is a woman of courage, and she was a woman of strength. And listen, she in a sense was a force to be reckoned with because people began to notice this woman. Oh, they knew she was a Moabite. They knew that. But they began to notice something different about this woman who said to her mother-in-law, "Thy God is going to be my God." So I want you to go back with me, and it's important that you see this. Go back with me to the book of Ruth, and I want you to look at chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Joshua judges Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 11. One of the men that noticed her was a man named Boaz. He was the owner of those fields in which she was working. And you know the story. You know there's a love story here. She eventually fell in love with Boaz and Boaz with her. And they were married, and through her lineage, we have Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1. Remember when we studied that in Matthew chapter 1? In Ruth chapter 11, verse 3, Boaz is speaking to her, and he says this, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city," now listen to this, "all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Wait a minute, she's a Gentile dog. She's a second-class citizen. The Moabites aren't even allowed to enter into the temple of the Lord or become part of Israel till the third generation. She is a dog. But everybody in Bethlehem knew that this woman was a virtuous woman. Why? Go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 11. "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Verse 12 is the key. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." Notice these words, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." This Moabite woman, lost in her sin, came to put her trust in the God of Israel, in Jehovah. You know, that kind of sounds like you, and it kind of sounds like me. There was a day that we were lost in our sins, lost and undone, on our way to an eternal hell. What happened? Jesus Christ came along, and we put our trust in Him as our Savior, and He changes forever. And that's what Jesus Christ can do for you if you don't know Him as your own. He will wash away your sin through His blood. You know, the baptismal waters don't cleanse from sin, do they, Judy? They don't cleanse from sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, sir, can. And if you come, if you've never put your trust in Him as your personal Savior, you can do that this very day. Not walk out of this auditorium before you know Him personally. What do you have to do? You got to do what Ruth did. You got to trust Him. Put your trust alone in Him. And so, the whole town, the whole city of Bethlehem comes to know that this woman is a virtuous woman. She was a woman of virtuous character. But this is what I want you to understand. The virtuous character of Ruth was rooted in her trust of Jehovah. It was rooted because of her trust in Jehovah. Ladies, listen to me. The virtue that the Bible speaks of, even with the definition of valor, strength, and force, is rooted in your trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what I want you to see. So if you'll stay with me in your thoughts, I want you to go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us." Now, like precious faith, he's talking about people like himself who had put their trust in Jesus Christ, people who were born again. He said, "I'm speaking to you who have like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." I love to just read this whole passage because it's so wonderful. But for time's sake, I just want you to jump down to verse 5. He said, "To those who have been saved," those who have come to faith in Christ. This is what he said, verse 5. "And beside this, giving all faith, add to your faith," what's the first word? Virtue. Here's what Peter said. When you get saved, here's the first thing, man or woman, this is the first thing I want you to add. Virtue. Now, virtue in 2 Peter 5 refers to moral excellence. Moral excellence. That's something else our culture has thrown out the women. And that's something else, ladies, that our culture will not tell you to do, is to live morally excellent and morally pure. If you want to have an abortion, not a big deal. If you want to have sex before marriage, not a big deal. If you want to have sex with somebody else while you're married, that's not a big deal. That's where our culture is. That's not where God is. That's not where he's at. He said the first thing you add to this saving faith is virtue, moral excellence. Now, I want you to remember that when we looked at the word virtuous in Proverbs 31, it means valor, strength, and force. In fact, that word is also used of Jesus Christ. Three times in the Gospels, Mark 5:30, Luke 6:19, and Luke 8:46, it talks about virtue in Jesus. And this is what it says. We won't read them for time's sake. But in those verses, it's talking about his miracle-working power. And it says that virtue went out of him to heal. That's pretty much the phrase. Virtue went out of him. Remember, there's the woman with the issue of blood. And for, I think, 12 years, she had gone to the physicians to try to find healing, and nothing ever worked. And one day, Jesus is walking by, and the Bible says there were large masses of people, and they thronged him. What does that mean? They were touching him, clawing at him, grabbing at him. And when you think about it, when you think what this woman did, you put some thought to it, I think we have to realize this. She had to get down on basically her stomach and crawl to do what? To touch the hem of his garment. While everybody is thronging him and touching him, she can't get to him, so what does she do? She gets down and she crawls and grabs the hem of his garment because that's what she said. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I believe that. And what did Jesus do when she touched him? What, you remember? He stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "What? What do you mean he's touching you? You are being thronged. You have all kind of people touching you." He said, No. Somebody's touched me because what? Virtue has gone out of me. And the word virtue there in Luke and in the book of Mark means valor, force, strength. You say, what's the big deal? Why? I don't make the connection. Where's the connection? To have the valor and the strength and the force of Proverbs 31, you've got to have the virtue of 2 Peter 1:5. In other words, Jesus Christ could not have the virtue, the valor and the strength and the force to heal people and to save people unless he was a man of moral excellence, moral purity. Does that make sense to you? When you became a child of God, God said, "I want you to add to your faith this, virtue, moral excellence, because out of your moral excellence is going to come valor, courage, strength, and a force to be reckoned with to alter people's lives that you influence. If you're a mom, your children. If you're a wife, your husband. If you work out in the public sector, other employees. You cannot have valor, strength, and be a force for good unless you have the virtue of 2 Peter 1:5, moral excellence, moral purity in your life. And that virtue creates the virtue that goes out and ministers to other people. Personal virtue so that you can minister virtue to other people. It's necessary. It's obviously important. If you want to affect your family, if you want to affect your children, if you want to affect, now in our realm, grandchildren, if you want to affect your neighbors, if you want to affect a total stranger, virtue is a necessary character for your life, characteristic and quality of your life. So let's go back to Proverbs 31 and think about what the writer said. Who can find a virtuous woman? And I'm going to be honest with you. In our country, it's getting hard-pressed to find women of virtue. Women of success. Women of wealth. Women of power. Yeah, you can find those. Because we elevate and push those things. God could care less. But what he is interested in you, dear lady, is that you be a woman of virtue. He doesn't care about your financial prowess. He doesn't care about your educational abilities or your ability and skill in the workforce. He does not care. But he does care about you being a virtuous woman and affecting other people for Jesus Christ, especially those of you who are mothers, affecting your children for him. He does want that to be a reality in your life. There are some characteristics that are spelled out here. We won't go over everything for time's sake, but I do want you to notice some things here this morning. When you go back to Proverbs 31, I want you to look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. One of the characteristics of the virtuous woman is this: she is one who can be trusted. And that is rare. Folks, let's be honest. In our society today, it is rare to be able to trust people. Used to be. You didn't have to sign a contract and have a team of lawyers in order to make sure there are no loopholes so the person you're signing the contract with so that you can sell them your weed eater doesn't somehow back out of it. You know what you did? You just gave your word. I'll sell this weed eater to you for $25. I don't have it on me right now, but I'll bring it over next Tuesday. Okay. And your word was good. And you could trust people. You don't do that today. You don't do that today. Because people don't live lives that are trustworthy. A woman who's virtuous, now listen to me, ladies, and it doesn't matter. By the way, when you look at verse 10, it doesn't say who can find a virtuous wife or a virtuous mother. It just says woman. So if you're married and without kids, or you're married with kids, or you're married and an empty nester, or you are single, or you are divorced, or you're a widower or a widow, listen, this applies to women, young and old. And he said, you ought to have virtue. The virtue of being able to be trusted, that your word be good. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Be a person that can be trusted. We like the song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus just to what? Take him at his word. Can I ask you a question? When you say something to your husband, is your word good? When you say something to your children, is your word good? If you are in the workforce, when you say to your boss, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, is your word good? In other words, can you be trusted? Now, you know, and I know, that you really can't trust people today. Let's be honest. You can't trust at least not many people today. People are not good to their word. That should not be true of someone who says they're born again. Should not be true of someone who says they're blood washed and blood bought. We ought to be different. We must be different if we're going to be a force. If we're going to be a force, the kind of virtue that's spoken of here, we have to be. Second characteristic. It's found in verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A woman who is virtuous is one who will do good. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, there's a statement made by Peter to the house of Cornelius. He's trying to teach Cornelius about Jesus and about his saving power, and he makes a statement. He said in verse 38 about Jesus, he went about doing good. I love that statement. He just went about doing good. Listen, be a woman who gets the reputation or maintains the reputation of just being good. You know what? There is a mentality now. And again, if it sounds like I'm picking on women, that's not really my purpose, but I see the direction of our culture in modern feminism, and it's like, you need to be a little bit spicy. And so it's okay if you're not really morally good. If you're sexy, that's okay. Oh, I know I said the word in church. Sorry. But you understand what I'm saying? You know, we want that. We want you to be, you know, a woman of power. We want you to be the woman of this and that. You know, you don't have to live a morally pure life. That's not a big deal. You don't have to be good all the time. You're more interesting if you're not always a goody two-shoes. Folks, listen, that's garbage. Can I get an amen? That's garbage. A woman who is virtuous is a woman who is good. And not the kind of good that the world defines. The kind of good that the Word of God defines. To go about doing good. Doing what is right. Here's an interesting verse, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Now listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. Well, that can be said of a woman too. A good woman, out of the good treasure of her heart, bringeth forth good things. Now obviously, now listen, if a good woman or a good man is going to bring forth good things, what do they have to have? A heart that is good. But notice how he says it. A good man or a good woman out of the good treasure of the heart. So here's my question. What kind of treasure is in your heart? For many, it's climbing the corporate ladder. It's assuming leadership in a company or whatever it may be to show prowess. That's what's in the heart of many. Oh, this thing about being a stay-at-home mom and taking care of the kids, that's old world, that's old-fashioned, that's foolish. And you realize that is condemned. You realize our society condemns that. By the way, it's not Mother's Day now. It is Childbearing Day. Or however some in our distinguished Senate and Congress have stated this week. I always feel like saying, I just give up. Yes, help us. What are you putting in your heart? If you want to bring out of your heart good things, how do you do that? All right, here's the Bible always has a solution. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not what? That I might not sin against thee. If you want to be good, not just for the men, but the men as well. If you want to be good and bring good things out of your heart, now listen, you got to put good things into your heart. You got to have a treasure filled with the Word of God that helps keep you right and brings conviction. Listen, the Word of God is constantly convicting me because in my flesh, as Paul said, dwelleth no good thing, and my flesh is always prone to sin. Always prone to sin. Yes, your pastor is always prone to sin. I need the Word of God in my heart, and so do you. And if you want to be the kind of virtuous woman that God says you are to be, you must do good. And you can only do good if you have a heart, a treasure filled with that which is good. And you can only get that through the Word of God. From verse 13 through verse 24 in Proverbs 31 is a portrayal of the woman's work ethic. We won't go back and reread all everything. I just want you to notice this about this passage. This woman is one who has a good work ethic. It says she worketh willingly. She worketh willingly. I'm going to use this example, and in a sense, I'm not using it to bring condemnation because this person I mentioned, I don't know. So I don't really know their motive. But I found it kind of interesting. My wife began to work at Michael's, and you know, when you start a store or when you're getting the store ready, you have to, every employee has to unload trucks and stock shelves. So my wife's out there unloading trucks and stocking shelves like every other woman and every man there going to work for Michael's. You know about my wife's diseases, you know all those things. Well, it eventually came down to where she's doing all these things and her body just would not cooperate, and Michael said, we can't keep working here because it's a liability for us, just can't do this. What's interesting, the first day she's out there doing what all the other employees are doing, stocking shelves and unloading trucks, and there's a young lady, 20 years of age, and at the end of the day she says, I can't handle this anymore, I'm quitting. Now, again, to be fair, to whoever that young woman was, that 20-year-old young woman, maybe she had health issues. I just know this. We've had different people in our church who have been business owners. I've sat in the office of one of those men and listened to him take calls from his employers who said, I'm not coming in today. Why aren't you coming in? I'm going to the lake with my buddy. You are scheduled to work today. Click. I mean, constant. I've heard these business owners have been in our church just talk about the difficulty of getting people to be loyal, getting people to have a work ethic. One of the characteristics, now listen, ladies, one of the characteristics of a virtuous woman is a woman who has a good work ethic and she's willing to work and doesn't have to be prodded. In fact, it's interesting. She's not doing this work to get ahead. She's not doing this work to make a name in society. She's not doing this work to climb the corporate ladder. And that's what our society is now pushing womanhood toward. Notice, look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Her priority, the reason she has a work ethic, is for the benefit of her household. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. The reason for her strong work ethic is not to climb the corporate ladder or make a name for herself. It is to help the poor. Look at verse 20 again. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not doing it to make a name for herself. She's doing it to help people in need. Listen, she has a good work ethic to be a blessing to her household, to be a blessing to the poor, to be a blessing to the needy. It's not about her. It's about her children. It's not about her. It's about her husband. It's not about her. It's about her neighbors. It's not about her. It's about those who are hurting in her community. That's her focus. A good work ethic. A good work ethic. Now, this is not a verse that people like today. In fact, this is one of those kind of passages that is going to make many in churchdom today or Christianity today cringe. And that many will fight against. But I'm going to read it anyway. Because I believe the Bible. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Titus. And look at chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 3. I don't think this is necessarily true of anyone here, but I can tell you out in society, they will reject what I'm about to read. Hear me, they will reject what I'm about to read. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that means serious minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, there is that moral purity in life. Notice the next phrase, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now notice this, here's the reason. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You understand, if you're not a keeper at home, you understand if you don't seek to have moral excellence, goodness in your life, you are blaspheming the word of God. Society will tell you the opposite of what I'm telling you. Many in Christian circles will reject this passage because it seems to be putting women down. Garbage. This is right. This is good. It should be obeyed. What does the term keeper at home mean? It means to be domestically inclined. Ellicott's commentary for English readers puts it this way. The meaning is clear. Home duties, cares, pleasure, self, or sacrifices of self, these God-appointed duties ought to fill the mind and heart of the young wife. I know our culture has said, be career-oriented. Have a drive about you to excel. And if it means not having kids, don't have kids. Or if you got to go out and have an abortion so you don't lose your position in the company, have an abortion. It doesn't matter. Drive, drive, drive. You got to excel, you know, and you've got to be just as powerful as a man kind of stuff. God says, that's not the way I've designed you. No matter what your culture says. And it's not just the culture of the United States. This is the culture of Europe. This is the culture now of Asia. This is the culture of South America. This is the culture of Africa. In every continent, this is swept. We have not only the pandemic of the coronavirus, we have a pandemic of godliness. We have a pandemic robbing us of the Word of God and debunking the Word of God. He said, be a keeper at home. What does that mean? Stay at home all day? You can't work? No, I'm not even saying that. You may work out in the workforce, but God said, if it's necessary for you to work out in the workforce, understand this. Your priority is not the workplace. Your priority is your own home. The attitude of being a keeper means like you're like a guard. You are to guard and protect your home. And I've given this example years ago, so many of you have never heard this. When I worked at Belmont Baptist years ago, we had a couple in our church. They were both very well-to-do. She was a registered nurse, and she worked in a hospital in Atlanta, so you make a lot more there than you make here in this area. She made very good money, and her husband was in the business world, I believe, and he made very, very good money. And they had a very plush, big home. I mean, a big home in a very nice area. And they had a child. And so they did what every other couple trying to get ahead and trying to live the good life did. They shipped their kid off every day to daycare. And one day the Holy Spirit began to convict her. You're not even raising your child. You go to work early, you drop your kid off, you're gone all day. And you know work, we have plenty of nurses. You know the worker schedule or the nurse's schedule. You got people you don't really know raising your child. She got convicted, and she and her husband talked, and they said, you know what? We got the plush house. We got fancy things. We got plenty of money, but we're not raising our kids. And so they made a decision. They sold their house, and they bought a small house. They cut their income by a lot, really, because she ceased to work. She ended up having one or two more children, and she just stayed at home. Now, I know today in our culture, and especially with the way the income is being affected right now, Bank of America has said by this time next year, we will be in transitory hyperinflation. That's not conspiracy theory, folks. That's the Bank of America who said we will be in hyperinflation by at least 2022. Steel prices have tripled. Wood prices are out of the roof. You've been to the grocery store. You see the amount of money you're paying at the gas pump. Folks, things are going to get worse and worse with the type of economy that our current administration is driving. So I say all that because it may be necessary for both mother and father to work. Just to make it. Not to live in some plush house, just to survive. So I'm not here condemning any woman who works. What my point is this, what is your priority? What is your priority? You should have a good work ethic, not to get ahead in the workplace. And you ought to do your best, but not to get ahead. A good work ethic that focuses on the things that the woman in Proverbs 31 focused on, her household. The poor, the needy. The kind of things that God teaches here in Titus chapter 2. The kind of things that God teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. We won't take time to read it. A woman who's virtuous has a good work ethic. Just a couple other thoughts and we'll be done. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. A virtuous woman is one of strength and honor. Now remember, the word virtuous here means valor and strength. She's a woman of strength. But it's not, I am woman, hear me roar. It's not that kind of strength. It is the kind of strength. Now listen to me, ladies. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. It's the kind of strength that says, God, without you I am nothing. And I need your strength to influence my children. I need your strength to help me play my role in this marriage. I need your strength to be a good employee. I need your strength to affect my community for you. I need your strength. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Corinthians 12, the last part of verse 9 and verse 10. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The best thing that ever could happen to the men in this room, the best thing that could ever happen to the teenagers in this room, the best thing that could ever happen to the women in this room is to come to the point where we say, God, I am weak. And without you, I'm nothing. And I call upon you to give me your strength to be the husband I need to be the wife I need to be the father I need to be the mother I need to be the employer or the employee I need to be. God, without you, I can do nothing. And that's what Jesus kept driving home the disciples. Without me, ye can do nothing. Not most things. Nothing. Nothing. She's a woman of strength and honor. The word honor means a woman of dignity. Dignity. Esther. Ruth. Abigail. The prophetess Deborah. Hannah. Priscilla. Mary. Salome. Anna, Eunice, Lois, all women of the Word of God, all women who were women of honor, all women who were virtuous women. And in that mix of women were business women, were women whose husbands, if they had not forsaken them, had no influence in their children at all for good. And so they, in a sense, were raising children by themselves. Were women of heartache, devastation that entered into their lives. All kind of women. Women in the political field. All of those women, despite all those things, focused on being virtuous, being women of strength and honor, and it clothed them. We lift up those names, and we should. These women of Scripture that played such a vital role in influencing modern day Christian women today. Hey, ladies, if you want a hero, don't pick someone off the U.S. National Women's Soccer team. Why don't you pick one of the heroes of the Bible? You know, I grew up near Cleveland, Ohio, there in Canton, and I followed the Cleveland Cavaliers from the first day. I followed them all those lousy decades where they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a basketball and always finished last place in the league until a young man from Akron, Ohio called LeBron James came along. And everything changed. You say, why are you saying that? Because I don't want anybody to be a fan of LeBron James. I don't mean that in an attitude of hatred. I mean this. He shouldn't be our hero. David should be our hero. Jeremiah should be our hero. St. Peter should be a hero. Timothy should be a hero. Forget LeBron James. Forget Tom Brady. Forget those people. And start getting heroes in your life that are going to help you. And make you what you ought to be. We need heroes. And you know what, ladies? You can be a hero to your children. Maybe I should say a heroine. Is that the right way to say it? Women are not heroes. That's a man. A heroine. But then I think of the other kind of heroine, and I don't want to confuse people. I mean, in our culture now, you know. One last thing. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. A woman who is virtuous, has this virtuous character, is a woman who is filled with wisdom. And not the wisdom of the world. The wisdom that comes only from God. It says in verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. In the same book, Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Ladies, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord more than you fear your boss? Do you fear the Lord more than you fear your ultra-feminist friends or neighbors who look down upon you because you want to be godly? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You say, I don't feel like I got a lot of wisdom. Well, you belong to the God of wisdom. Jesus Christ, Paul wrote, is made unto us wisdom. You got it. Now you just have to access it. So how do you access it? Well, my brother-in-law, the evangelist brother-in-law, taught me this years ago. Read 10 pages of the Bible every day, and beside that, add to it 5 chapters out of the book of Psalms and 1 proverb every day. There's 31 proverbs, and if you do this, read 1 proverb a day, you'll go through the proverbs every single month. And what is the book of Proverbs called? It's the book of wisdom. So, okay, if you want to be a woman with wisdom, and if you want to be a man with wisdom, what do? You go to the source of wisdom and ask the Word of God, and there's a particular book, the book of Proverbs, that will help you that. And then he says, and besides, just ask me for it. God's not a liar. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who wants to give to all men. And that term is not just for the males, it's for all mankind. Who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth. He's not going to upbraid you for asking for wisdom. You need wisdom in raising kids. Oh boy, you need wisdom. You need wisdom in dealing with your fickle husband, don't you, ladies? Some of you have fickle husbands. Ask my wife. She can tell you how fickle I am. She needs wisdom. If you work in the workplace, you need wisdom. If you minister here in the church to others, you need wisdom. Just ask him and go to his book. He'll give it to you. Verse 30, favor is deceitful. It just seems like there is a constant hankering in our country to gain favor with people, to be popular. Favor is deceitful. And beauty is vain. Now I know I have not, you know, wilted yet at 62 years of age. I'm still, you know, obviously I'm not. I don't look like I did when I came here at 45. I don't look anything like I did at 45, and I certainly don't look anything like I did when I was 25. It fades. The flower fades. And women, you know what? God created you with a beauty that most men don't have. But he said, beauty is vain in that it's not what you should be focusing on. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. Am I saying don't wear makeup anymore? Don't try to make yourself look, you know, attractive? No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a good name. You know, you should have a good name. You should be favored in that way. But folks, ladies, listen to me. A woman that feareth the Lord, that's where you ought to get your praise. Whether it comes from your husband, comes from your children, or comes from your children in your Sunday school class, or it comes from those that you work with in the workplace, a woman that feareth the Lord. Can I ask you this morning, ladies, do you fear the Lord enough to believe him? Despite what society says today, do you fear the Lord enough to believe him? And forget all the wrangling that we hear out in our culture. Fear him. I trust you do. And if not, you know what? Right now, this morning, before you walk out these doors, if you see some area of your life, you say, I need to improve in this, or you know what? My priorities in some areas have been wrong. Listen, you can make it right. You don't have to leave this place without making it right. Not just for the ladies, for the men. We need to be trustworthy. We need to be people with a good name. We need to have a good work ethic. And we need to be clothed with strength and honor as well. Maybe God has spoken to somebody today. Maybe there's something you need to do about it today. Maybe you can deal with it right where you're seated. Maybe you need to come to this altar. Whatever you need to do, I encourage you right now, you be obedient to the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I began by looking at those terms there in 2 Peter chapter 5 about adding to your faith virtue. So my question to you is this to begin with. First, do you have that faith? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own Savior? Has there been a time that you can recall? You may not remember the exact date, but you know that you know that you know there has been a time in your life where you have turned to Jesus Christ for His cleansing from sin and you have put your trust in Him alone for salvation. If you say, you know, I'm not sure of that, then you know what? Today, you could make sure. We'd be glad to have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know without any doubt. So if that's your case today, we invite you to come. And folks, if there is in your life as a believer a need to add to your faith some of these different aspects of virtue, then I encourage you today, do business with God. You didn't come here to be entertained, obviously. You didn't come here just to sit. You came here to have your life altered and changed. And if there's a need, then you can go before the Lord right now. Or if you need to come to this altar, I encourage you to come. Father, use what has been preached for your glory. We'll thank you for what you'll do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand together with our heads bowed. And as Patty begins to play, if you need to come, I encourage you to come right now. Are you a woman of virtue? Are you a man of virtue? Have one more verse. If you want to come to the altar, you come. Have you be seated, and we'll consider the invitation still going, but if you need to come, you come. And I'm going to have Brother Nick come. He's going to lead us in a song at the cross, and we're going to go back and prepare for baptism. We're going to have one baptized this morning.
All right. At the cross. We'll take a minute just before we start. I want to hear some testimony that what happened to you at the cross. What happened to you when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would anybody like to share that this morning? Anybody? At the cross of Christ, at Calvary. I mean, it is a blessing to be saved. And like Pastor said, if you haven't came to that cross, if you haven't taken a moment to reach out and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to see right here in a minute with the baptism, His death, burial, and resurrection before us. Brother.
Yeah,
Amen. Amen. And he'll do that for whosoever, right? Brother Tom, did you want to share something real quick?
Amen. I don't always and haven't always in my past lived the life that I should, but he's always there for me.
He is.
So
amen.
I thank him for his mercy.
Amen. That's good. All right, Miss Patty, you want to get us started?
Morris, 2 years ago, a couple of our men out door knocking came across Judy's house and told her about Grace Baptist Church, and she decided to come, so you've been here about 2 years, and a couple of weeks ago, she said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. So we talked on Thursday evening a little bit, and I said, well, Judy, you talked about being baptized before. She said, well, I got sprinkled. She said, I've never been baptized. I said, well, what made you decide you want to get baptized? She said, the Bible. I thought, well, what a better answer. You know, it's the Bible that convinces men and women. And so glad for her willingness to be obedient to the Lord. So, Judy, as we talked there Thursday, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, I do.
And you want to be obedient to him in baptism this morning?
Yes, I do.
And Judy certainly knows that baptism has nothing to do with being saved. Is to show that she has been saved, to show that she has chosen to follow Jesus Christ as her Savior, and so glad that you're willing to do this. So, Judy, I'm going to have you go ahead and grab my wrist here with both hands. Judy, it's my privilege to baptize you as my sister because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Jesus' death. Okay. Raise the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. All right. Praise the Lord. I just about drowned her.
No, it was just cold.
It is cold up here. We have a heating system, and I think it's been here since the building was built. And I do think, trustees, it is time to buy a new heating system for the baptistry. So we often sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You don't need the words. You know it. Let's stand together. We'll sing that. Hope you have a great afternoon with your families. We'll see you at 5.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God.
Don't forget about your Mother's Day gift, moms, and have a happy Mother's Day. Lord bless you.